Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Trading. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com if you're a farmer. Work with traders and hedgers in the commodity markets. So if you're a farmer or you trade these markets, you want to trade online, you want to trade with a broker, or most popular product is the hybrid of both, which will allow you not just access to me, but our online technology and all our news and resources and newsletters and reports. You can find my contact information in the show notes or on the web. Again, Craig Turner at Turner's Take. So let's dive into, hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. We've got New Year's coming up. This is usually a very slow week in the markets. This year is no different than years. Other years, we were closed on Monday. Tuesday was dead, which would be yesterday. And today, Wednesday, things are kind of picking up a little bit. Tomorrow should be all right. And then Friday, again, will most likely be pretty dead as we go into the long weekend for New Year's. But as soon as after New Year's comes and goes, the markets start to liven up. So doesn't mean there aren't some pretty good opportunities right now before the money comes back into the market. There's probably some value out there. Wouldn't be surprised to see actually some of the grain markets move when the traders are back in the market again. But first things first, let's just talk about the macro side of things. The tax cuts that get approved by the administration and Congress. So we will see tax cuts coming in. That should be good for, in theory, just about everybody in terms of economic growth. We'll see corporations probably put more money into their businesses, you're also starting to see announcements that they're paying their employees more, either raising wages or paying out bonuses. Should start to see some of that money also come into capital expenditures, which in the long term is what drives growth, whether it be usually innovation, economic growth, productivity, which then in turn leads to higher profits, which leads to more hiring and so on. So that's what it looks like going on there. This is not a political podcast. This is just purely economic and what happens in these types of situations. So from a purely economic viewpoint, tax cuts should help with economic growth. And what that will in turn do is just continue to see the stock market go higher. I think the stock market will rally throughout the first quarter here. If you wanted to play that in the futures market or your account here with me at Daniels, I'd start taking a look into these weekly S&P options, where if we get down days, you know, looking to see what's a week, like a week out or maybe max 2 weeks out, and see what's going on with the calls, and then, you know, on the red days, buying calls and then seeing what happened, keeping the risk low, but still participating kind of short term. I don't know if you want to go all in on the stock market here at these prices. We are pretty high, but kind of taken more of a speculative shot with short-term options on the down days. Seems like a good play to me. And, you know, if you're wrong, we're out the price of, you know, a weekly option or something like that. But that couldn't do too much damage. And then if we keep on going up in the stock market for, you know, the next 3 or 4 months throughout the first quarter, you would think that kind of strategy would do well. So again, just based on the tax cuts coming in, based on what people are thinking in terms of how it's going to help earnings in the stock market, you would think the first quarter would hold well, especially with the projections now in GDP. We're talking about 3 and 4% growth. That's all very bullish, and you can see that in other things too. You know, it's spilling over into crude oil, it's spilling over into protein like cattle and hogs and some of the grains. You know, copper. Actually, I haven't seen copper. Let me take a look at it real quick. Copper is also, I mean, we're breaking out here. You can make it, you know, if we look at, I'm looking at December copper. Let's go to March. March copper is looking great. So we're coming to a, we're breaking out here into new highs. So I think this is very much to do with world growth and economic growth in the United States and throughout the world. So crude copper, the stock market, all bullish. So we're seeing a real bull market here. And that's going to the reason, and that's going to set the tone. So either we can play that, and I like the S&P mini, S&P weekly options to kind of play that trend for a while now. So I do like that. And in terms of you know what that means for other things is we're going to add be more on the bullish side. You know, when you got to really respect what's going on in the macro economy in the United States and also around the world to give you an idea of, you know, should we have a bullish bias or a bearish bias on some of these things. So moving then on to the grain markets, I do, you know, we have been saying how with corn and wheat, we have a little bit more bullish bias just because we have there's value in those products. There's a huge short. We have some really cold winter weather. I was talking last week and the week before about maybe looking to getting a little bit more of a longer exposure into wheat just because of the cold weather now. And here we are. We have not enough snow cover out in the regions of the Midwest where they grow the winter wheat. There is a concern that the hard red winter wheat, the Kansas City wheat, may have some winter kill. If we do see some short covering, we really should see that in the winter wheat contract. So keep an eye. Let's say, you know, I see Chicago wheat. We had a low of about 410 in March a couple of weeks ago, earlier in December. Now we're about 15 cents higher. Not too bad for a contract that's been pretty beat up and has such a big short in it. You know, the Kansas City wheat, you know, was around the same price for about 423. So it's up about 4 cents today too, and about 14 cents since the lows in early December. You know, we still have some pretty big moving averages to fight through. You know, the 50-day moving average for wheat is still about 10 cents higher. But if we, let's see what the 20-day is. And we are at the 20-day. We are trying to break through these 20-day averages in the wheat market. And really close above them. So that'll be interesting if we can get another leg higher. And the weather does look to be pretty cold here. So maybe, with where wheat is priced, we're competitive on the world market. Maybe we can see some better exports. So with the wheat market, I'm just not that bearish on it. Definitely turned a tune here to neutral to bullish. And with that, you know, and I think we'll trade it accordingly. So we do like wheat over corn. That's something that we've been writing about. Wouldn't even mind, you know, doing some option plays, you know, selling premium where you're basically playing, you know, a choppy to bullish market. There are some good ideas there too. So if you have any, if you do trade wheat or you're a producer in wheat, give me a call or shoot me an email because we definitely got some ideas on that. I'll also try to include them this week in the newsletter. We'll definitely be on the ag marketing side. We'll be talking about wheat this week. For corn, you know, we were buying corn and then buying a put. You know, the puts were so cheap, you can get, you know, 2 months of protection for like 3 cents or something like that. So that's what we ended up doing. So we are long corn. I still like that. I think there's a lot of value in the corn, and we consider how short the market is. I mean, when you add up all the shorts that the funds are short in wheat, corn, and soybeans, I think they're at a record. You know, there's this kind of index, like, you know, are the funds net long or net short the CBOT, the Chicago Board of Trade contracts. And I think this, when you combine them all, they're record short. And to be at this time of the year that short, where we still have a lot of weather premium that can be built into the markets in one, South America now, and two, going forward, we haven't even, you know, we're not even thinking about planting yet in the United States. So to see the market that short going into this, I don't know, I'm definitely neutral to bullish corn and wheat. I've been talking about that a lot. I think we are breaking above the 20-day moving average in corn and holding it well. If we can, let's see what the 50-day comes in on corn here. 50-day on corn. Oh, we're getting there. You know, we are in, it's about 356. We're at about 353, 354 now in March corn. we close up another 2 cents, we're going to be above that 50-day moving average. Just to give you an idea, that 50-day moving average has been a resistance point in corn since mid-July. Since mid-July, when corn was basically trading, 20 or 30 cents higher, 40 cents higher. And ever since basically the break in prices from the summer, we have not been able to get above the 50-day moving average. We close up 2 cents higher and can stay there. We'll be above it. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on with the corn market. For the hedgers, I still like selling the straddles, but we have been short straddles and we've been buying them in. And we've definitely bought in all the calls. I'm okay with being still short some of the puts. So we've gotten out of all of our straddles, and if we're still in any of them in Feb and March, we've pulled off the calls and just left the puts. So we're fairly confident on grain stabilizing. I talked to one client today, hedging client, about something he read where they were, for May corn, selling a 350 call, and for September corn, selling a $4 put. So you're basically selling an in-the-money call and an in-the-money put. And the trader's idea was that you would do that because you think in the short term we kind of just chop around and you collect a lot of premium on that May call. And then as we get into spring and summer, after you've basically gotten rid of that May corn call and closed out that half of the trade, you know, you're short that $4 put in September corn and you ride that higher, right? So, you know, if the market goes down while you have that on, yeah, the May corn call goes in your favor. The short call, the short put in September goes against you. So there's kind of like a net there. So really it's just a time value play of thinking, all right, and if we rally a little bit, the corn goes against you, but the put's in your favor. So, and what you're really looking to do here is just for the call to wear off over the short term, and then you're set up positioned, you know, for a spring summer rally. It was an interesting idea, but those are the kind of things we're looking at. I know we bought futures and then bought a cheap put. This is another way to play it. I think whether you're a futures speculator or a farmer and a hedger, I think now is the time to really look at neutral to bullish strategies. And it can be something like this or something different. I'm going to be writing about those a lot. Neutral to bullish strategies, where you're buying the futures and buying a put, which is a neutral to bullish strategy. Maybe selling a short-term call and a longer-term put, which would be a neutral to bullish strategy. Straddles that are a little bit higher than the market are now are a neutral to bullish strategy. That is, we're going to continue to look at that on corn, and also wheat too. My thoughts on wheat are pretty much the same as corn. We're forging a very long term bottom here, I think, in both of those markets. Beans are a little bit different. Beans, I can make the argument being $1 higher or $1 lower. So we're definitely being a little bit more cautious there. If we do get up to $10, $10.15, and the new crop will be selling. If we get a big sell-off before this crop is even made, that'd be a buying opportunity. Where we are now is kind of no man's land. I don't mind if you're a farmer and you've already sold some beans. I don't mind buying them. Some of them down here and re-owning a little bit. I think that kind of makes sense and it's smart. From a pure spec play, you may want to pick and choose your prices a little bit. But that's where we are on the beans. It is a protein world, though, and I'll say one thing about beans. Even though the bean market, you know, is, if we have a monster crop in South America and we have a lot of acres planted in the United States, that's bearish. But the one thing is, you know, with the U.S. economy growing and with the global economy growing and living in the protein world, that's the, of all the grain markets, that's the most benefit on the demand side for soybeans. So, there is, even if we do get some pretty good weather and some pretty a good size amount of beans in South America, there still should be some kind of bidder support at some point on the export market for U.S. soybeans. So, again, I know there's a bit more cautious on the beans here just because of the possible range, but I'm still rather be long than short. at this point in time. But if we do rally to $10, at that point, I really want to start to look at protection. Protection for prices or just new crop sales for farmers. Livestock. The hog and pigs report, cold storage report. We've seen some USDA reports, also cattle on feed. Big takeaway is that we didn't, even though on the surface that hog report looked kind of bearish, I think as you look out forward, it was bullish. And I'll say, you know, basically, we don't have the production and the storage that's going to be able to satisfy the belly demand for next spring and summer. So it's setting up, you know, on the surface, and maybe right now you can make the case as a little bit bearish. But going forward, as we get into spring and summer, when we're talking about belly prices, we're probably not going to have enough. So we're going to have to keep that in mind, in terms of the longer to medium, longer term trading. And then when it gets time next year, or actually now this year, we're going to be in 2018 very soon to look at the seasonals and play the belly trade and the hogs. I think we got to be on the bull side here. And that is how it's looking to set up. Things can change, but stick with Turner's Take, the podcast, my newsletter, and we'll keep you updated on that. And the, as far as the cattle goes, yeah, they said the report was a little bit bearish, and then we were higher. The thing is, you know, we're again, there is demand out there, and there's cheap grain, so I think you kind of got to like the livestock too. Just dependent, also just based on where prices are in terms of beef. I think you have to like that. And with continuing with the theme of very good macro, a strong macro economy in the United States and around the world, crude oil. WTI is at 60, and, you know, OPEC are making cuts, but, you know, and the shale may catch up. But demand is good, and demand is good because business is good, and we're gonna keep on having bullish economic activity. Crude oil should keep, you know, should be steady, if not higher. It won't change until either OPEC eases up on their production cuts, or if the shale industry just comes in with monster production. But it takes time for them to ramp up. And also, it's not in the best interest for the shale companies to completely go pedal to the metal right now on their production. Like, they'll most likely ease into it, or at least, you know, be able to, if they can start pumping and make $60 a barrel, there's no reason to flood the market. So as the economy grows, as OPEC keeps things steady, and if the shale people can come in and just step in and sell the additional barrels as we're in, you know, into the 60s, sounds like everyone's a winner in that, in that scenario. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. So crude may be a $60 deal here. We'll just have to really keep an eye on it. And you're going to have to keep an eye on U.S. economic growth, global economic growth, what OPEC does with cuts, and then how much shale oil production is able to come on the market, and also be keeping an eye on the spread. So if you want to see what's really going on the internals on the market, I would look at June versus December crude oil. That's going to give you an idea if we have an oversupply or an undersupply. Right now, I think June versus DEIS has been trading at an inverse of $1.50 to $2, which tells us that demand is still strong. We're still in a bull market for crude, and until we can really weaken off those spreads, it's going to stay. And finally, let's talk real quick about natural gas. We have some real cold weather coming up. It's been in the news, and that's going to be bullish on natural gas. We'll see a draw on natural gas. Anyone who's been short will cover. We'll see some new buying coming in. Big question will be is how much does this thing run? Natural gas got down to about 255 in February, now about 273. We can certainly come back up to 3. It's just going to depend on how cold it gets and how long it stays. So it's definitely going to be a weather trade. Natural gas is going to be a weather trade here during this cold spell. So that's where we are in terms of Turner's Take, what we're doing this week and next week. Again, a little recap here on the spec side. We will look to be, you know, where can we maybe use the weekly options in the S&P to maybe take shots in the stock market here. We'll be looking, I still from the specs, I think there's value in corn and wheat. I think there's going to be value in the hog market, and especially when we get to the spring, summer, in terms of bellies. Crude, cautiously bullish on that. But we're not going to jump into anything right now. And same thing with natural gas. So that's where we are on the spec side. In terms of the hedging side, I really like neutral bullish positioning in corn and wheat. I think with beans, you got to pick your spots here, and we're just going to have to take what the market gives us going forward. May not be the best time to hedge right now, but certainly with corn and wheat, there's definitely, if you're a farmer and if you sold bushels, this could be a good time to do some kind of buyback strategy. And then, you know, when we do get the rallies later on this year, we'll be looking at protecting new crop. But right now, our bias is neutral to bullish. And there's a lot of ways right now you can use the options and futures market to take advantage of that. So if you have any questions about that, you can always contact me at Daniel's Trading. All my information is in the show notes. So you can go to turnerstake.com, which is the website we have for the speculators, or turnerstakeag.com, which is my website for where we talk more about hedging and, you know, cost of production and stuff like that. All my contact information is on there too. So have a great new year. I will be in the office for today and tomorrow and probably a half day on Friday. And if I don't speak to you, I will catch up with you again. We are closed Monday for New Year's Day, but back open for business on Tuesday. And thanks very much, and have a happy new year.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.